They devoted themselves, the early church, to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to ministry, and fellowship. It's not that they had fellowship, or not that they did fellowship, but they devoted themselves. Fellowship. The kids were right. It is part of chocolate donuts and gummy bears, or chips and dips and cookies and punch and coffee and donut and maybe wine and cheese. But this church did more than that. They devoted themselves. It wasn't like fellowship came way after prayer. It wasn't that the teachings of the apostles, which were the gospel teachings, but fellowship was right there in the midst of it all. They devoted themselves. Webster defines fellowship as being a part of a group. Not in isolation, but a part of something bigger. Fellowship, having or sharing with others. Fellowship, working together in partnership to accomplish a task. That's our English word. Most of us have heard a Bible study or sermon on that New Testament Greek word koinonia, which the definition is almost identical to our English definition. Koinonia is sharing together in partnership as one. The early church, the New Testament church, the church that Greta read about in Acts chapter 2, devoted themselves to fellowship. That was big. There are three key ingredients that I find when I study this Acts passage. And really not only the Acts of the Apostles, but anytime you study from other even extra-biblical writings about the early church, and if you read the Apostle Paul's letters concerning these churches, there are three things about fellowship that float up from that big concept. And the first is relationship. Fellowship is first and foremost a relationship with God and a relationship with God's people, with believers. Now listen, as we grow in our relationship this way, as we grow in our relationship to God, we can't help but long to grow in a relationship with each other. I think they're so connected. This relationship, I mean, Jesus said love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others. But in the church, fellowship is loving God and growing in our knowledge and our understanding and our relationship to God. And then we can't help but grow in relationship to other believers. Doing church, doing activity, doing mission or ministry can only happen, I believe, in a meaningful, biblical, holistic way after or as we are in this relationship with God. Then we grow in this relationship with each other. Fellowship is relationship, vertical and horizontal. Fellowship is also a partnership. Being a part of a group. Being together. These early sharers in this new experience called the church, they were partners together with Christ, co-partners in his work. Do you hear how big that is? Paul said in Romans that we are heirs of God and that we are co-heirs or joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What a partnership that God allows us. God allows us to be in partnership with him. God allows us to be in partnership with Christ. in the promotion of the gospel and the building up of the church. Oh, what a partnership. A relationship, a partnership. It's all fellowship. And the third component is companionship. I think that companionship is the deepest, most intimate element of biblical koinonia. Koinonia, fellowship, involves communion with God and communion with each other. I'm not a teacher, but I think when teachers get together and the kids have gone to PE or the kids have gone outside or the kids are somewhere, teachers have a unique companionship. They get it as they talk about the principal, or they talk about those helicopter parents, or they talk about those standardized testing. There is something about that fellowship, relationship, partnership, but it's companionship that teachers enjoy. I think lawyers have a certain amount of that too. That lawyers get together and they talk about that crazy old judge who's been on the bench way too long, and we know exactly what he's thinking. And lawyers compare their notes and say, why do all the lawyers in Tyler have such stupid commercials? That's what they say when they're looking. I would never lose a lawyer in Tyler. Dude, who does their PR stuff? It's not good. I hope they're not watching today. So lawyers have this companionship amongst themselves. And tradesmen, you know, carpenters these days are talking about the cost of lumber and the cost of wood and how are we going to pass that cost on to others. And preachers, there may be a part of fellow, well, preachers, we usually don't like each other. But when we do talk together, we talk about you. We talk about you. Companionship. But Christian fellowship, Christian companionship is deeper. And I believe it's only found when we have that deep and abiding relationship with Christ. It's communion. That's where the word comes from, this companionship, communion, in common, community. We are companions with God, with God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, believers all together in the church. This New Testament, early church, Acts chapter 2, Luke reflects on them and he says they were devoted to fellowship, in relationship, in partnership, in companionship. What a picture of the church. But what else did they have to do? I mean, really, they've all come together. They don't have an iPhone to text, to look at, to talk. No one talks on their phone. They didn't have an iPhone. Can you picture that? What else did they have to do? They couldn't just go home and watch Netflix. They didn't even have ESPN to know of the wonders of Baylor sports. They didn't have that. What a boring life. Hey, but here's a good thing I thought of. They didn't have CNN or Fox News either. So it wasn't all bad. No, they got it. That's what it was. They got it. The early believers knew that the church, as ordained by God, proclaimed by Christ, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, would never, ever, ever be the church that God envisioned. They would never, ever be the church that would survive without authentic fellowship. And I submit the same is true today. First Baptist Church, Lufkin, as your pastor, I commit and I continue, and more so long, that we would be a church devoted to fellowship. That we would be family, that fellowship, the fellowship of the church, the fellowship of believers, like this New Testament first church, that we would be so devoted to fellowship. So how do we do it? How do we do that? Well, let me just offer two thoughts. The first is we will celebrate our unity. We will celebrate our oneness and not allow our differences to divide us. For we are different. We all come from different parts of the community with different backgrounds, with different beliefs and different thoughts, but we will celebrate our oneness, our unity in Christ, and refuse to allow differences to divide us. Now that takes work and prayer and patience and grace and probably forgiveness. Being one and committed to our oneness, celebrating our unity and not allowing differences to divide us, means we have to be open and sometimes transparent, and that's frightening, and always non-judgmental. Koinonia fellowship, it is not a luxury in the church. Fellowship is not an option in the church. It is a spiritual necessity. It's a requirement. If we are to be a true New Testament church committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must be devoted to fellowship. We need each other. And Lufkin, Texas needs a church like ours. It's easier to preach on fellowship and oneness and unity in the midst of diversity. It's much easier to preach on it than it is to do it. Being devoted to fellowship takes a sense of intentionality from every single one of us. Never forget what I've said for 6 years. Unity does not mean uniformity. To be unified doesn't mean we all walk alike or dress alike or think alike or believe. That's not unity. That's uniformity. I want to celebrate unity, not uniformity. Differences do not mean division. We can be different. We are different, but we can still be one. Celebrating our unity, celebrating our differences, that's true koinonia. How do we do it? We make sure we have each other's back. We're going to redo the carpet. We've talked about it for a couple of years. I think it probably needs it. We're going to redo the carpet, and we're going to redo the stage area. And while they're here, I think maybe we should paint up there. Well, we're not going to, but it wouldn't be bad. We've got your back. That's what the Bible says we should do. Oh, maybe not those exact words. Paul said in Romans 15, 14, admonish one another. 1 Thessalonians 4, 18, comfort and encourage one another. To those believers in the churches of Galatia, Galatians 6, 2, Paul said, bear the burdens of each other. 1 Thessalonians 5, 15, seek good in each other. Peter said, show hospitality to one another. And Jesus in Mark 9 said, learn to be at peace with each other. I think all those scriptures say, we got your back. We're there for you in time of illness, that your church is walking and undergirding you and supporting you and speaking to God on your behalf. In time of sorrow, your church is carrying you and holding you. And yes, in time of crisis, whatever that crisis may be, to know that my church has my back. Whether it's you or your family who has that DUI, that unplanned pregnancy, we've got your back. That failed marriage, that messed up family, we've got your back. In the midst of bankruptcy, or whether you're just one toke over the line, we have your back because of koinonia, because of fellowship of believers, because of our relationship to God and our relationship to each other and our partnership in the gospel, that we are committed as companions to each other. The saddest verse in Scripture that I read, the saddest verse, the psalmist said in Psalm 142, verse 4, the psalmist said, I look to my right and I see no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for me. Not at First Baptist Church Lufkin. Not now. Not ever. We're family. Unified. Even though we're different, we are one in the faith and we have each other's back. You know, I've reflected on COVID a lot in the last 14, 15 months. Every single one of us, every one of us and those at home live streaming, we've been affected by COVID. We haven't all been affected in the same way. Not in the same way, but we've all been affected in some way. And as a church, I don't know of any way that's affected us more than fellowship. I've been thinking of the mask. We had to do that, but not being able to see a face of happiness or sadness, of not being able to hug, to shake a person's hand, to look in their eye. You know, it's been 14 months since I have set foot to visit a person at either one of our hospitals because I couldn't get there, and you couldn't get there with your family members either. In times of sorrow, sitting at the back of a funeral home when you were allowed, or standing in the garden of memories away from others, how we needed that time to hold on to each other. In times of joy and in times of celebration, when birthdays and anniversaries passed us by and we as a church couldn't celebrate, do fellowship together. It's what we had to do. But thanks be to God, we're moving beyond that. And I'm grateful for live streaming. I'm grateful that folks, that we were able to worship through live stream during these months. But if you've been vaccinated and you're still home, come home to church. We will never, ever be able to do what corporate worship is meant to do sitting in our living room. Though it was nice for a season in your pajamas, I'm glad you could see me and I couldn't see you. We need each other. We need each other. We need each other. That's what fellowship. So what would it look like? What would it look like in our church if we were devoted like the early church? Well, here's a good picture. Let me read it. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, which was the gospel of Christ. And they were breaking bread with each other, and they were praying. Oh, and they were really devoted to relationship, to partnership, to companionship, to fellowship. And everyone was filled with awe at the wonders and the signs that were happening down at the church. And all the believers came together and they had everything in common so that they even sold possessions and sold property. When someone had a need, they figured out a way to meet the need. And every day, they just kept coming together out in the temple courts and outside the churchyard, and they came together for worship. Oh, and they still went to each other's homes, and they still broke bread, and they ate together, and their hearts were glad and sincere, and they just kept praising God. They enjoyed God's favor and the favor on all of God's people. And then the Lord kept adding to their number those who were being saved and those who weren't perfect and those who needed each other and those who found a home in the church. That's what it looked like then. And that's what it should look like now. What a fellowship. Oh, what a fellowship. May we never take it for granted. But may we continue to pause and thank God and devote ourselves anew to fellowship once more. Shall we pray? Oh God, how we love you. How we are overwhelmed by your love for us. And really overwhelmed that you love us so much. You said, come and let's be partners. Let's do this together. Let's share the gospel. Be joint heirs, joint partners with Jesus. Oh God, you've given us your word and you've reminded us of what that first church looked like and how they got it together. They did it by praying and reading scripture and studying scripture and by fellowship. Oh, I know, God, there are some that would say, well, first we need to pray, and first we need to be devoted to you and devoted to each other. We need each other. I'm glad, God, that we're not all alike. How boring that would be. You have made us different with different thoughts, ideas, but you've made us one in Christ, which is greater than all the differences. And we celebrate that unity. God, we need to have each other's back in times of crisis, in times of need. We need to always look around saying, someone is praying for me, someone is undergirding me, someone is there for me. That's my church. That's my church. Oh, how we love our church. Oh, how we love you. Oh, how we love Jesus. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. We give you thanks and prayer in Christ's name, I pray.